We're in Psalm 102 to 104. As you might know, Ed, wow! It's an easy read. Here's the deal. We're in book four of the Psalms. Book three, as all the Psalms are being put together after the exile, they were put together in a fashion. You've got Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 kind of as an introduction to this beautiful book that has been arranged. And then you've got book 1 that deals with this covenant fellowship that David's calling out for. And in Psalm 19, he's thanking the Lord for the word. And it kind of pushes this off. Psalm 1 and 2 are that same way. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not, sits not, stands not with the sinner, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. He's like a tree firmly planted. Did I say Genesis? I'm listening to your conversation, I'm sorry. Psalm 2, David is... Psalm 1, David deals with the blessed of the man of the law. Psalm 2 deals with this coming king. And so the whole part of the Psalms, as we read book 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, is we're looking at the law, we're looking at the coming king. Book 1 deals with the covenant relationship. Book 2 deals with the hope of the messianic reign. What a time it's going to be. For 1,000 years that we'll be with the Lord. Amazing. Book 3, it deals with that returning to Jerusalem, the coming of the king, but it's done through the perspective of exile. These Psalms are all kind of a lamentation of man, we wish that we were going. Man, we can't wait to return. There they are. Imagine if you could for just a second, living in Los Angeles and having a home that's been totally burned, you have nothing left. And we'll read about that, how they say they even love the dust. Why, it's still home. Jerusalem's been burnt down, demolished, and it's still home for them. And they love it. They're desiring to go back. Book 4, it's how do we respond in the chaos to a living God? And there's times when he's praying, actually in Psalm 102, he's praying from a standing point of being overwhelmed. Anyone ever been overwhelmed before? Overworked? Anyone ever overeat? So this guy's overwhelmed, you'll hear it. And it's kind of like an Evel Knievel ride. Evel Knievel would always start up on this platform and his motorcycle would go down this ramp, hit the ramp, and he'd go on up and he would cross. I forget how many buses that guy would go over. I mean, he was just an amazing guy. Bad name, great motorcycle guy. This is how this starts off. He starts off going down. Oh, Lord. And he's just going down. But as he begins to look at the bad things in his life, what's going on, he sees the faithfulness of God. And as he sees the faithfulness of God, he begins to have confidence in the Lord. And we get into Psalm 103, and it's praising. And by the time we get to Psalm 104, he's just blessing the Lord for being the creator of everything. And it's this beautiful arch of just, and sometimes my prayers are like that. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't believe where we are as a nation. I can't believe what's going on in our country. Or Lord, would you help my relationship with my family or my wife? And Lord, listen, by the time I'm done, he's already bringing me up. And I'm just praising the King of Glory. And that's what we find here. So let's look at this. Psalm 102, he says, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. Three different ways he says the same thing. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Hear my cry. Don't hide your face. Incline your ear. Answer me speedily. Does anyone ever pray it and you want to know the Lord right now? I don't have a minute, Lord. I need to know. And has anyone ever prayed and it's like maybe a week or a year and that prayer hasn't been answered? And you're like, Lord, why are you so far? Why do I feel like you're so far from me? This guy's overwhelmed. Do you remember how long they've been in Babylon, anybody? 70 years. 70 years, Lord. He's overwhelmed. I think think sometimes the Lord allows those times of silence that we can talk out what we're thinking, talk out our feelings. Why do I feel this way? And he begins to unfold the things in his heart. And he says, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burnt like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin." I am so caught up in anxiety and frustration, I'm not eating. I'm just skin and bones, Lord. I'm just skin and bones. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. He says, I feel like I'm all by myself. I'm the only one. Elijah said that once. "Lord, I am the only one, the only prophet left. They killed everybody. I'm the only one." And the Lord said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Elijah, you know, he starts just kind of bad-mouthing God, if you would. But here, there are times when we do feel like we're the only one. Can I tell you, you're not alone. You know, there are those prayers that we ask, and I don't understand why it's taking so long. But I want to trust you, Lord. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you in the silence. Help me to trust you when I feel alone. Maybe I can't sleep. Maybe I'm not eating well. Maybe I haven't worked for 6 months. I haven't made a sale in 8 weeks. I haven't. And Lord, what's going on? I'm all by myself. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who do right me swear an oath against me. For I eat ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Ashes and weeping speak of sorrow and mourning. These guys, these enemies of mine, they're just going at it. They're kicking me while I'm down. Lord, I've been here for so long. I'm broken. I'm wasting away in Babyloniaville. He says, "Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I will wither away like grass." He says, it's like the setting sun. The shadows get longer as the day goes longer. These days just don't seem to end. Man, when I was a kid, just time just flew all the time, and here he's in captivity. And isn't it crazy? When you're having fun, time flies, but when you're in agony, gosh, hours seem like days. Days seem like years. "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever." There we go. There's a change, there's a shift in his prayer. "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion." I love that. He's talking about his heart. "Lord, I'm not eating well. I'm not sleeping well. I've been here, Lord. This seems like forever, Lord." And as he's complaining, and sometimes I even, as I'm complaining, I begin to actually hear what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, man. You know the rule at the Lucas house. You are not allowed to complain unless you follow that complaint with, "And that's the way I like it. Lord, she burnt the lasagna again. That's the way I like it." And so he changes his tune. "But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations." Scripture reminds that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're saved. Praise the name of Jesus. He says here in 13, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her." Yes, the set time has come. It reminds me of Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel's in Jeremiah, and as he's reading, Jeremiah tells us here in Jeremiah 25, it reads that for for 70 years to be cast away in Babylon. And Jeremiah starts counting his toes, counting his fingers, getting his abacus, and realizes it's been 70 years. We're there! Praise the Lord. And as he starts to seek the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? I like that. He recognizes he's in captivity. He's in there because of the sin that they had. They did not honor the Sabbath for 149 years. So the Lord said, I'm going to take my Sabbath back. 70 years you'll be in Babylon. Lord, what would you have us do now? Prepare us, Lord. And as he asks about these 70 years, the Lord reveals 70 weeks. He begins to unfold the rebuilding, the return of the king. He begins to unfold these things. And this reminds me of that very thing. Yes, the set time has come for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. For the nation shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. As he is unfolding his heart and his personal circumstance, he's reminded of God's promise. He's reminded that the Lord will restore and the Lord will return. And he begins to look ahead to the day of the coming king. The Lord will build and will have his glory there in Zion, there in Jerusalem. They love that place. I love how he says that. We take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. Speaking of dust, Samaritan's Purse is going to be opening up anybody to come on into Los Angeles and help sift through the dust and the ashes to find personal stuff. There's some Calvary chapels in the area. I'm trying to get some time off to go. Now, when I have all that dialed in, I'm going to say, hey, who would like to go? You know, I would just ask that you guys would say, like Isaiah, here I am, Dave, send me. And a team of us can go down. And it doesn't have to be just guys. I mean, women can sift just as fine. And you know what, my brother-in-law, he went to Tennessee a couple months ago to help out. And while he was there, some women came, and they just hung around with the other women and cried with the women who cried, encouraged, shared the word. You remember the story of my brother-in-law there going into that Carl's Jr., and that little country girl walked up and says, y'all pray? I need prayer. And Troy's like, yeah, we pray. And so they prayed for her. And you know, it's an amazing thing what the Lord can do with just someone that would say, okay, Lord, use me. So I want to just encourage you guys. When that day comes, I'll let you know, and we can go as a team. It'd be great. Verse 18. As he's writing this out, he unfolds his heart. He talks about the goodness of God and his faithfulness. He says in verse 18 that this will be written for the generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, and from heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hearing the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. The psalmist says, you know what? We're going to write this thing down, and people will go back and say, man, God is good. He's been so faithful. He's been faithful. He dares to step into that thing of prophecy that the Lord will return. The Lord will set up this glory in Zion. We will make it back because God is good. You know, God cannot lie. Isn't that a great truth to know? He cannot lie. Now we see this juxtaposition here. Verses 23, as he begins to talk about how weak he is, yet how strong and enduring the Lord is. He says, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. And then it changes. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. What we see is he kind of this juxtaposition where he says, I am weak, you've shortened my days. But he only says that not to complain some more, but to say, though I am weak and my days are short, your days are eternal. In fact, verse 28, the children of your servants will continue and the descendants will be established before you. Kind of like what Joshua said, as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is so important, guys. If your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents volunteer at a school, if you don't, you should. You know what? We need to continue to raise up our children. Train our children the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. You might say, Dave, been there, done that. Keep it up, buttercup. I'm telling you. There'll be a day you'll stand in front of the Lord and say, so did you talk to your grandchildren about me? Oh, I didn't want to ruffle the feathers. Oh, it's so terrible. I remember talking to my daughter when or my wife about our daughter. It's like, oh, we gotta make sure that she's going to church and make sure she's going. We've got a granddaughter now. Man, life's different. And you know what? That little girl's growing up in church. I told you, was it Wednesday night or was it Sunday when I told you about that dream that my son-in-law had?
Yes, last week.
That was Wednesday? Well, good. Sunday's here. So, my kids have been going to this church in Colorado Springs, and blessed, man, I am so blessed. My daughter says, Dad, they come to worship. They got a worship team of like 14 people. Wow. I know. When we have, when Robert does the Christmas choir, all of us are up here. There's no one in the seats. They got 14 people with guitars, keyboards, and she said, it's not just noise, Dad. These people come to worship the Lord. And I thought, wow, that is great. I said, are you getting fed too? She said, oh, yeah. But she was just really honing in on that worship. And anyhow, all that to say, they've been plugging in. And my daughter's been plugging into this young women's group. And you know what? Plug in. Continue to ask your kids to plug in. Keep praying for your son. Don't give up on him. The Lord hasn't given up on him. Pray up. Psalm 103. Here, this is a psalm of David. And as I said, Evel Knievel came down, and as he grew his confidence in the Lord, he said, man, even our descendants will be established. And now he starts to take off. I love how they arrange this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Do you guys ever sing that in church? It goes something like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has been so good. He has been so good. He has been so good. He's so good to me. Yeah, I'm leading worship today, so we're going to do it again. Ready? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has been so good. He has been so good. He has been so good. He's so good to me. Amen. God's good, guys. He's amazing. When I just look, I was thinking of that poem, Footprints in the Sand, where the guy's walking, you know, and he looks back. There's only one set in the hardest part. He's like, Lord, why did you leave me? And the Lord said, son, I was carrying you that time. Are you kidding me? What makes me wonder sometimes is, well, why didn't he know? He was in those quiet times that this guy was in, praying. And then all of a sudden he realizes, God is good. He has been protecting me. Though my life might be shortened, though my life is like a shadow fading away, I'm still here. God's good. I'm still here. I still have a purpose. And here David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's not take for granted the good hand of the Lord. Let's not take for granted the country that we live in, or the time we live in. We live in a time when they have penicillin. We live in a time when I've got two new hips. My wife's got one, not mine, but she's got her own. We've got glasses. Man, there was a day when they just started amputating things. They thought that drilling a hole in your head would relieve a headache. Praise the Lord for the day that we live in. And can we praise the Lord that we're here for such a time as this? Could it be that God has given you the time and the resources and the abilities to reach a world that doesn't know him? Could it be that he's using you to reflect his glory to the peninsula? I think so. He even tells us here, who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns, and who satisfies. Who forgives all your iniquities. Iniquity is different than just sin. Even saying the word iniquity is kind of weird, isn't it? It's a mouthful. Sin, easy. You know, you missed the mark. Iniquity is knowingly stepping over the line. It's kind of like one of those. I remember my son Daniel, that kid. I'm trying to teach. He's a little guy. And we're cleaning his room. And I said, Daniel, and I'm putting toys away in the toy box. And I hand him a toy. Put it in the toy box. He looks at me and he drops. Dan, come on, Dan. And I give him the toy. And he looks at me and he drops it. Third time, he looked at me and he drops it. That is iniquity. That is knowingly, willfully being disobedient. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this tyke? Do I spank his nongas? What do I do? I mean, he's just a little guy. Fourth time he handed the toy, and it was a little bit of energy. Pushed it down. So I paddled his calf. He looked at me, and I said, Dan, we're cleaning your room. I handed it, and he looked at me, put a tear in his eye, put it in the toy. I said, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's not forget that he forgives our iniquity. Man, I know my testimony. You guys don't know my testimony. Praise the Lord. But you know, I know my testimony. I know what the Lord saved me from. Let's not forget that he heals all your diseases. I was just thinking of talking to Tony Xavier. I was talking to your pop, and one of the things he asked me is, why did God take Janice now? Why did he take her from me now? I don't know how to answer that question. That's a question that he wrestles with the Lord. But I can tell you something. Something amazing happened in August 26, 2022. My father, who was an alcoholic, my father who had a kidney failure, my father who wasted away, on August 26, 2022, God made him whole as he embraced him into his loving arms. I got to pray with my dad. I got to walk him through the sinner's prayer. And he looked at me and he said, I can't wait to spend more time with you. And I'm thinking, that's beautiful. That we'll have forever, but man, why did it take so long? But you know what? He's more alive. Janice is more alive, more alert, more healthy than ever before. Yeah. Ever before. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Paul talks a lot about the crown of righteousness, yeah, and the crown of life. And here the Lord crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I love that word, tender mercies. Tender mercies speaks of a mother's gentle touch. Watched a movie the other night, and this coach was coaching these guys, and this guy got all kind of scratched up, and the coach just said, rub some dirt in it. He's a man. A mother would have went, it's all better now. It's not all better. He may have felt good inside, but these 10, Lord, there's times when he has a loving touch that we just need. We just turn into him, and he just holds us, and he crowns us with loving kindness, with tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. I think of Exodus 34 when Moses said, "Show me your glory." And I can see Jack Nicholson saying, "You can't handle my glory." Yeah. And so he takes him up to the cleft of the rock and he protects him from himself and puts his hand over him and allows the Lord to walk by and then allows him just to see the afterglow of the Lord. Just this, we don't even know. King James says the backside. We got the afterglow. I think it's amazing. But as he would pass by Moses, the Lord declares his own name. It says, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation.'" The Lord's good. People will ask me from time to time, what does that mean, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children? We'll talk about that another time. But as the Lord declares his goodness, and then at the end talks about visiting iniquity upon the children of fathers, you say, that's not right. I'll tell you about it later. I've got plenty to teach on today. He doesn't visit the iniquities of fathers on children. He comes to visit, to forgive, and to heal the children of the iniquities of the fathers. You know, my dad was an alcoholic. Ruined his marriage, his life, his career. Went through two marriages. But the Lord passed by. The Lord visited his iniquity and visited me to make sure that I would follow his footsteps. I hear things where people say, "Yeah, you've got the sins of the father and of the children." I think the Lord is a strong tower, and he desires to protect the children. Amen. Let's move on here. He says, where am I?
Verse 11.
Thank you. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards you, those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." I was looking at the diameter of the world is 7,900 and some change miles wide. The circumference is 24,901 mile in circumference. And you can go west as far as you want and you'll never go east. You can go east as much as you want and you'll west and east will never meet. I don't care what that Chinese restaurant says. There is no east meets west. It's not available. Now, north and south, you can go to the north and travel south, and before you know it, you go north again, and you're traveling south, the same thing. But the Lord has removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. He chooses to forgive them. Man. The only people that choose to remember them are us. And we say, "Lord, would you just clean my mind? Would you remind me, not of my sin, but of your goodness to forgive me of that sin? I know where I came from, but more so, I know where I'm going. He's removed my transgression as far as the east is from the west. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. For as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him and his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those who remember his commandments to do them." God is good. He's established and he establishes his kids. He ends this with kind of like a, my soul. David does the same thing. He says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Then he points up and says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in his strength, who do his word, heed the voice of his word. Then he says, bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. And then David closes the same way as he began, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David's one of those guys that when he has a bad day, he says, soul, why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God. And he has to tell us, bless the Lord. You know, it is so important, guys. I've told you this before, I'm going to tell it again. When you are in the heat of the battle or argument, or maybe you're trying to balance your checkbook and it's just not adding up right, things are getting frustrated, you're online and you're getting blurry-eyed, and you feel frustrated and almost angry, we can worship the Lord. And you have to choose to worship the Lord, and it does three things. You ready for this? One, it deflates the flesh. I know how I really sound. That's why I have the guitar so loud. When I start to sing the Lord, it deflates my ego. Lord, I am nothing, but I am choosing to worship you. I've been at some men's gatherings, some men's retreats, and none of the men are singing. I don't sing. Remember last year, George, those 400 men. Were you last year, weren't you, Bill? It was so loud. It was just like, wow. It's amazing to hear 400 men all singing the same song. It was a choice to worship the Lord. It deflates the flesh. Two, ready? It defeats the enemy.
Right.
Amen. It defeats the enemy. When he comes a knocking, you start worshiping. You start praising the Lord and it defeats him. It deflates the flesh. It defeats the enemy. And lastly, it delights the Lord. The Lord loves it. That's my boy. Right there. That's my boy. And before I know it, my eyes aren't blurry. My temper's back in control. Life is good. I'm going to read 104, Psalm 104. But what I'd like to do is just have you guys close your eyes. This is just a psalm that's just thanking the Lord for his creation. The word talks about washing your bride with the water by the word. And so we're the bride of Christ. I just like to just wash it with his word, not put any commentary in it, just simply read it and let the word stand for itself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You, who laid the foundation of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountain. They went down into the valley to the place which you found for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends his springs into the valley. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. And by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the tree branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. Then, when the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, with this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, and they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit. They are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, and it trembles. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him, and I will be glad of the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. The psalmist would, the individual that put these all together just paused and said, he's so good. Look what he did in creation. Look what he's done for us. And he pauses and says again, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. There are times in our life when we feel like our life is but ash. Whether it's in Los Angeles or whether it's in Lost Landing. But you know what? As we begin to pray out our heart and lament what's going on in our head, we remember the faithfulness of God. We're reminded of his goodness. And though our prayer may start going down, it soon begins to rise up, and it just begins to be a praise to his goodness. Father, as we recognize our times in our life are difficult, there are more times that you've been faithful. Though there are times